Yesterday, the World Health Organization warned countries to tighten controls in laboratories that handle the SARS virus. The WHO believes labs themselves may pose the biggest single risk for the return of severe acute respiratory syndrome. The most recent case was reported in Singapore, where a medical student contracted SARS while doing research in a SARS lab. WHO officials say they're particularly concerned about lab security in China, where little is known as to the whereabouts of virus samples.
Despite these fears, there is considerable hope that a new outbreak can be minimized. This year's epidemic made it clear how far scientific research has come in just 20 years. It was a matter of days before scientists identified a coronavirus as the cause of SARS, just weeks before they determined the virus's complete genetic sequence. By contrast, it took years to get the same information about AIDS.
Today, we present the third report in our series on the world after SARS. The pace of scientific progress means it will be easier to develop ways to detect and treat new diseases like SARS. But as NPR's Joe Palca reports, fighting new diseases still involves an element of luck.
When SARS showed up earlier this year, health officials didn't know whether the new disease would kill 800 or 800,000. But they knew they'd better find treatments and find them fast. So they called USAMRIID. USAMRIID is the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases in Frederick, Maryland. USAMRIID's main job is to prepare countermeasures against biological weapons. But this was an emergency. The government needed to set up a drug testing program now.
It was the best place to set it up. Other places are now putting in the necessary security and safety guards in order to work with this, but we were able to start doing it very, very rapidly because we're already working with viruses of similar biohazard in our labs.
USAMRIID's John Huggins knows dangerous viruses. He's worked on the smallpox virus for years. He's found ways to test new compounds against these viruses. It didn't take long to make a test for the SARS virus. With the test in hand, Huggins next needed to find chemical compounds that might kill the virus. So he and his colleagues called in representatives from the drug industry and gave them a simple message.
If you have compounds that look like they're of interest to this thing, the government is putting together a screening program so that we can start looking for these.
In California, Roger Mills at Pfizer's La Jolla Research Facility thought he might have what Huggins was looking for. Mills and his team had been working for nearly a decade on drugs to treat rhinovirus, the virus that causes the common cold.
As we saw the data coming out on the coronavirus, one of the scientists here noticed that there was a potential link with the rhinovirus. So we were able to send compounds to the government to be able to be screened against the virus.
I think they sent 27 compounds from that group the first time.
The way John Huggins tests new compounds is fairly simple. He puts cells infected with the SARS virus onto a plastic plate covered with tiny holes or wells. Then he adds a dye that turns red as long as the infected cells stay alive. If the virus kills the cells, the plastic plates lose their color. Huggins says one of the 27 compounds Pfizer sent seemed to be actively killing the virus without killing the cells.
This was one of the first really active compounds that we had seen. And you can tell that because normally if you get failures, the plate's all sort of clear. There isn't a lot of color to it. And so as soon as you held the plate up, there were all these bright red wells, and that was your first indication that you had something.
In a matter of mere weeks, Huggins had found a compound that might work against SARS. When the Pfizer scientists got the good news, they sent more compounds to Huggins and more tested positive. But Roger Mills says that doesn't mean they have a drug.
We have a number of compounds that have varying degrees of promise. And then we have to look at them to see whether they are capable of being turned into a drug.
They have to be tested to see if they harm healthy lab animals. Then they have to be tested to see if they can kill the virus in lab animals. Mills says even if those tests are successful, there are other reasons a compound may not get turned into a drug.
Often it's a chemical reason that may mean that we can't take something through. It's an inability to be able to generate large quantities of that chemical that you require to be able to treat a number of patients.
But Mills says there is one compound that could be ready for testing in patients sometime next year. That's less than a year after SARS burst into the world's consciousness. Normally, it takes a half dozen years or more to develop a new drug. But the speed is due in part to luck. Mills says Pfizer never would have found a candidate drug so soon without its rhinovirus program.
We put that program to bed earlier on this year, and then within a couple of months had to resurrect it because of this link with the coronavirus.
Other pharmaceutical companies have also sent compounds to USAMRIID, and some of those also show promise. So science may come through with effective SARS treatments. None will be widely available if SARS erupts this fall. But drugs are just part of combating an outbreak of disease. Another critical component is rapid tests to diagnose the disease. Many illnesses start with flu-like symptoms. Before you isolate a patient and quarantine his family, you'd like to know whether he's suffering from a dangerous new illness or a run-of-the-mill case of flu. That's where USAMRIID's George Ludwig comes in.
Our focus is developing diagnostics for the very early detection. And the reason there is that by the time you get into the acute phase where an individual is actually ill, medication therapeutics are going to have a much lesser effect on the ability of the patient to fight the disease.
At one of his labs at USAMRIID, Ludwig shows what's ahead for diagnostics, a suitcase-sized box connected to a laptop computer.
You push a button, it tells you where to put the samples, and you push start, and it runs. It takes about 30 to 45 minutes to run an assay, and it essentially is detection in real time.
But as fast as scientists have been to develop new drugs and new diagnostic tests, none of that helped contain this past year's SARS outbreak.
To be perfectly honest, we were quite lucky. SARS was contained by 19th century public health methodologies.
Anthony Fauci is director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He says for more than a century, public health workers have controlled diseases by isolating patients, warning against travel to and from affected cities, and keeping a watchful eye for new cases.
At the same time as we were containing the SARS epidemic successfully, that gave us the breathing room to do the kind of science that hopefully will position us if and when, and I think it's when and not if, SARS comes back.
Only then will the new drugs and new diagnostics and new vaccines become useful, if they're ready. As important as the advances in science have been, Fauci says it's just not realistic to think that science can totally prepare us to deal with the new diseases we will encounter.
It's an unending race, because microbes will continue to evolve. As they continually evolve, the human species needs to continue to evolve its science and its public health methodologies to be able to keep up. So this is one of the reasons that infectious disease people, scientists in general who do this, will always have a challenge, and it will never be it's mealtime and we could just relax. That will never happen when you're dealing with microbes.
Lately, the federal government has been pouring money into research to thwart bioterrorism. Fauci says that effort will help scientists deal with dangerous new microbes that are certain to appear without the help of terrorists. But as fast as scientists may be to respond, it will still take an element of luck to be even partially successful. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.